Check, check, check.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's do it.
Let's do this thing.
I'm in the mood to be slow and careful. My body's ready for a mountain climb. All of a sudden it will all become lovely. The flower that opens in the morning light.
It's the beginning of a new year. My resolutions are already wearing thin, and I wanted to ask you how your 2022 is kicking off.
Not great, I'll be honest. I don't think many's have been kicking off that great. You know, fine, but I think society at large is in this cycle of like, all right, like it's like the light at the end of the tunnel feeling of like, all right, finally, we'll get out of this, 22 will be it, and then not off to a good indication that, you know,
the pandemic
and all that shit's behind us.
Yeah. I was late getting out of work. Hadn't been doing much of like going out or anything like that.
Talk about that with me after the podcast, dude. Don't air your complaints on here.
But when I was late out of work, felt bad about it. So wanted to take Aisha out to eat somewhere. It was like, I won't say, it was like 8 o'clock. And they're like, oh, we're not accepting anybody new tonight.
Well, it's Bangor, baby.
Yeah. But they're open till like 10, 11. So it was like staffing, whatever any of the million problems are right now. So it's like, whatever, bopped over.
But a resi is one.
Bopped over to another one. And just kind of had like a, almost like a sad dining experience.
I've had them.
Not much going. It was just weird.
Yeah.
And kind of got into a weird, like
I'm
looking around,
for this.
Like dystopian mode.
Yeah.
And we went to like Target and it was weird.
Just doubling down on the dystopia.
I hate to say it.
Late night Target.
And I just kind of, I had that, I don't want to be like the weird, but I had this, I feel like everybody's walking around like not okay, but like, it's all okay. And I was just watching this kid do dishes in the Starbucks that's in Target, scrolling on his phone, finger up, face glued to his phone, grabbing one dish at a time, taking like 37 seconds to do the dish left-handed, slide it over, eyes never left his phone, and I just like, what?
You think you wouldn't be doing that if you were
I'm
doing
on my
dishes
phone all the time,
at
way too much. I just went back to my cozy little house. And
probably not a lot of managers there making sure the dishwashing is going on full efficiency at that hour.
And pretended everything was okay.
I mean, everything's okay.
We're very resilient.
Yeah, everything's okay. That's where it's at.
Yeah,
to me. Yeah. As we say this, like both
the more
both using nice laptops, speaking to expensive mics in this little house, and it's a beautiful snowy morn out there.
Ooh.
So yeah, I think everything's at minimum is okay. It's just not maybe as okay as we want a new year to be.
That's fair. You know, I set my sights very high.
And it's like, what are we thinking? January is always not great.
Sucks.
Yeah, so like, why are we putting all our eggs in that basket?
Do it
perpetually.
Yeah. New
it's
year
the coldest
be,
month.
New Year should be July 1st.
Yeah,
celebrate America, kick off the new year, and let's fucking go.
Yeah, wow. That you might be onto something there, man.
But for this episode, it is a new year. I wanted to pick your brain about some of the stuff coming down the Milo pipeline. And really, we had some really cool reach outs and interactions with the gang, with the Grain Gang. And during this coldest, darkest, snowiest of months in Maine, that stuff is always incredibly helpful. And I really mean that one to highlight some of that and celebrate the gang today. And first to do that, we'd sent out, kept our end of the bargain and in true turtle tortoise fashion in terms of speed, but got our magnums out to the people that needed them, except for my man Spencer T, I believe 2929 or 9292, but looking for an APB on Spencer T. Reach out to us on Instagram, through the email, graining in at BissellBrothers.com. Anyway, you've got a multi-track mag with your name on it, baby.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, it's in the box and everything.
it just needs to. It's got a handwritten
it
note.
Has everything but the letter.
with your name missing, and then just needs that UPS sticker right on top of it.
And
to
a kiss
your
from
way.
Both of us, of course.
Yeah. with that Kylie lipstick on. Anyways, I got my mom some for Christmas. She loves it.
Yeah, yeah.
My mom's 65. It had like a champagne. It was something like champagne peach or something like that. She loves it, so that's good. But before we get into the admin stuff that we always do, it's time to beg for some reviews. Every time we do it, we see a big influx. We see a big pop. It helps with the algorithm, that algorithm that's keeping everybody glued to their phone while they're doing dishes at Target. Help us, baby. Review.
I think you can do it on Spotify now.
Somebody said that to me the other day.
We have a sad amount on Spotify.
Mm.
And I don't think you can... I don't think you can write a review, but...
Just stars?
Slap that five, baby.
I thought somebody hit me with one or something like that, but I did. Somebody told me the other day they had tried to do it in the past and couldn't, and now you can. So reviews, Spotify, Apple, we appreciate them.
And here we are
them.
Saying this year's an off to a great start.
We got a lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for. But
champagne peach, baby.
And what I have to be thankful for is what is coming down this Milo pipeline. Speaking of peaches, that's
your bread ticket, huh?
I need my meal ticket to come. Starting with peaches, we got Just the Pits coming. That's a beer that we've done once before because we had that harvest that didn't come through 1 year. Now we're sitting on peaches again, getting ready to bottle that beer actually about a week from now. Talk to me about it a little bit. It looks like, were there two separate peach blends that came together into one?
Yeah, that was really a product of just how much fruit we have. I know that's a tale as old as time on here, but with a Goza we did, we basically used fruit again and had good results for, and not that that's a really new idea either, but... Yeah. Basically, one tank had normal for me, about 3 pounds per gallon of peaches. And then the other tank had like an absurd ratio, like 9 or 10 pounds per gallon.
That batch of beer, as I believe
mostly
it was called
peach juice. Peach,
I think it was called peach bomb.
Yeah, literally bomb. Literally. Like it's would kind of like... I know it's a winemaking thing, like a bomb tank. I've heard Scott talk about it before, for like high intensity and that you can use as a blending component.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't use it in that way because there just wasn't enough volume. It was like a single oak barrel on a lot of peaches. Like it filled the tank pretty much. But now we'll be able to put something else in there and I don't have any hesitation to still have like, I bet we could get a normal amount, the equivalent of like a 3 pound per gallon, you know,
like peachiness.
By another, by hitting it again.
So
time will tell, but very excited for that beer. For everything else, it's been a little frustrating of just sort of a holding pattern feeling.
Explain.
Well, it's so funny how this stuff changes so quickly, but you know, 6 months ago, 8 months ago, it was like, man, all this, we don't have enough like deep Brett barrels. All we have like a lot of acidity and not a lot of depth.
Yep.
And now flash forward here to try to weed out that, get rid of some of that, dump some of it, you know, brew more, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's the complete opposite place where we have just a lot of slightly underdeveloped Brett beers, like underdeveloped on their own.
Yeah.
And I feel like, oh man, if we just had, you know, 4 or 6 barrels of higher acidity stuff to just salt bay in, I think we'd be off to the races. But thankfully, like acidity is pretty easy to make, but I just keep tasting stuff like every month or so and being like, all right, everything will be right. And it just keeps kind of...
Next month.
Yeah, exactly.
Month,
and it's starting to wear on me a little bit. What else we got?
Can we talk about a couple specifically?
Oh, please.
There's two that I've been really excited for. I think we touched on it once here, but honey as a word sets me up for...
You ever call Asia honey?
Oh, yeah. I'm more of a babe guy, but
yeah.
In the
I've never used it.
It's come out of my mouth before, but it's not my go-to.
Yeah. Something you could say to a waitress.
Not,
honey, can we get a refill? No. Have you ever seen that episode of Curb?
I'm sure I have. I'm not recalling it. I immediately went to like Mad Men in my mind.
Well, kind of. Richard Lewis, I can't remember if it's Honey or Sweetheart or it's some pet name that he drops like too early.
Yeah.
And the girl's wicked turned off. So then Larry's like, well, just say it to everyone. And it's like a montage of him there eating lunch. It's like, honey, to everyone else in there. Honey beer, sorry.
No, just as I get queued up to be interested, to like whatever's coming.
Creamy, cheesy, sweet.
Honey. we had done the collab with Trillium. Right. Was it Cutting Tiles? They've got did our take on the honey beer.
Tile Cutter. That's Tile what it cutter. Was. That's it was throwing me off the other day talking about it.
Yeah. And you brewed with it for that. It's obvious use here. Might make sense in terms of incorporating it into a mixed firm beer. Talk about where we, ever since that, I've just kind of been queued up, waiting, super curious to see what it's going to be like. I know we've had it in a tank for a while. How's it tasting? What's it looking like? What have you learned from brewing, using honey as in a mixed firm beer, kind of all of those things?
Yeah. I'd have to actually look at what I pitched it with. But first, it's probably been in there for 7 or 8 months at this point. And yeah, it is coming. Like each time you taste it, you can tell it's getting closer.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing that I saw with it tasting it at every stage was like, holy fuck, this aroma is wild.
Yeah.
Like it is all the like complexity of honey. It isn't necessarily sweet, but it's like all this like kind of chamomile-y, kind of just very floral but hard to pin, like delicately floral aromatics that sets you, that triggers something in your brain to be like, that's honey.
Yeah.
Even though it does not smell like a jar of honey, really. But sorry, what were you going to say?
No, totally.
Basically, I'm not sure if acidity is the thing that's missing from it, or there's... For a while, it was just like this crazy aromatics. And then when you, in mixed firm beers a lot, if you have, that can almost be a detriment if a beer smells very, very good. Because if that beer doesn't taste like it smells, it's going to be...
Almost a letdown sort of thing.
Yeah, even if it's at least in my experience, it fucks with your brain in a way that makes you not enjoy the beer that much.
The disconnect.
Then.
And I remember you quite recently talking, we crossed that with tasting some of the spontaneous stuff. This incredible nose on a spontaneous beer then getting so up and excited about that when you smell it and then you taste it and you almost have this kind of letdown feeling.
Do you really want to taste it?
So totally understand that.
Yeah. So it's coming along and hopefully probably in the next couple months, I'll make a move on it one way. Well, we'll bottle it in one fashion or another, whether that's blended or just keep it not as acidic maybe as in my head I think it should be. But and I don't. Yeah.
It just brings a question to my mind right now. When you have something like that, like you've brewed a thing, kind of honed in on an idea of where you want to go with it, you know what I mean? Not something that's just kind of like the base beer, right? Like a Belgian Golden Style Strong Ale, and then we're going to see what happens. And like this, that's kind of made for blending. This is kind of like, oh, we're going to brew this honey saison. When you do blend something with that, in that blend, does that blending process happen kind of right before packaging? Is it like put the pieces together for a finished product? It's maybe lacking a little acidity or needs acidity or all the things you're talking about. Do you kind of blend right before packaging, put that together, and then it's off to putting it in a bottle? Or does that happen kind of well before and there's still maturation or whatever that needs to happen after.
No, for me, I like, I approach it as like, okay, these beers are within the brewery, they're finished. Put them together is close to whether if they're, if it's going to get fruited, it happens right before fruiting generally, unless the fruit didn't turn out like we wanted to dilute the flavor a little bit or, you know, whatever. But yeah, in far more often than not, yes, right before. Right, it's before. The kind of the last thing you do.
That makes sense. Because change can happen after that.
Yeah, and I think like, I don't know. Yeah, I would just be hesitant to do that with any certainty. But yeah, so there's that beer, and the plan will be to condition it with honey, is what bottle condition with honey, which will be the first time we've ever done that.
So it's when we bottle condition, right, you add a little, really kind of the most basic sugar, literally like granulated sugar that almost anybody would have in their cabinet. We add a little bit of that priming sugar. Sometimes you add yeast, not always, and then that fermentation happens in the bottle. That's how we condition. And this, so that honey with all that sugar source would act as the priming sugar that goes in?
Yep, just directly. Yeah. Yeah, there was an Oxbow beer. They did like a series of honey beers, and the two examples in my head of like honey saisons, like, is Anna from Hill, and then I can't remember what these were called. It was not Catalyst. That's, I think it, they were not that acidic, and I felt like that confused me, which surprised me a little bit, because honey's not, well, I don't really know the pH of honey, but it doesn't come across as like zippy.
Yeah.
I'll look the pH up real quick.
Keep it up.
Very wide range. Wow.
Wide pH range?
Yeah. 3.5 to 5.5.
Hoorah.
That's very wide. That's wider than beer.
3 to 4.5, something like that?
Yeah. Where do you learn that?
Not bad, right? Well, let me...
So anyway, honey beer coming soon-ish. Not sure exactly, but I think it's mostly the just natural kind of delicateness of mixed firm beer, but I can't stress enough how impressive that nose is from just honey and boil only. I want to say, I can't remember the exact gravity percentage. I want to say it was something like somewhere between 10 and 15 points of gravity is what it added.
Gotcha.
So quite a bit for a simple sugar, but still, like, when you have that, the fermented, it just goes against what you think, how flavors, like aromas, lock in at that stage. So yeah, but if you're get some honey in your life,
baby.
Get some honey in your life.
And
also think I'm gonna brew your precious Trappel again, maybe, and add honey instead of dextrose.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. So that was going to be on the docket for this week, but the order, I need to wait till next week to pick it up.
I am a big banana man. You know this. I'm going to have some bananas dipped in honey for breakfast, start to get myself ready for that. But
I'm a Hefeweizen, man. I'm going to make it so phenolic now that you said that. It's going to just be a clove bomb.
Not a big clove guy. My mom's not a great cook, and many years of Christmas and Thanksgiving
heavy
ham,
on the cloves.
Christmas hams have turned me the wrong way. I love you, Mom. But I want to switch to the second beer I've been really excited about, and I can use the an Oxbow beer that I do remember having as the transition for that, is Plums. I remember very early on into working here, taking trip out to Oxbow, having some stuff. The one beer that I really came away with and remember to this day is Plum Synth from them. I really like that beer. And I know when us talking about it, you've kind of all along the way, you've been to me kind of just communicated like, man, love to get some plums, love to brew with some plums. And we were able to do that this year. Let's talk about the fruit itself first. Because frankly, like, I haven't like just eaten plums very often, if ever, to date before this. And we got a couple different kinds. Maybe you can talk to what they are, but there was one kind, this kind of very small, much more red than purple Japanese plum with massive acidity. If I'm remembering that, I thought like right out just tasted fucking phenomenal, like the definition of like nature's candy to me. Talk about plums as a fruit first, and then we'll get into the beer that is coming hopefully soon.
I think I'm like you. I haven't eaten a ton of them. I think the Japanese one you're thinking of is the orange one though.
Okay.
Shiro's. I remember like. I don't know. My mom used to bring them to the beach. I remember them as like a beach thing.
Nice.
Not even positively, really. Just like...
There were plums there.
There were plums there. But in another thing we've talked about it before, but like in Maine, fruit-wise, I will use whatever we can because it just the options are limited.
Yeah.
The crop years change, you know, massively sometimes based on winter to winter. So... Saw the opportunity, hell yeah. The beer I think of is the Tilken Plum Goose. It's in some French word I don't know how to say. But
you brought that up here. I think I've had that with you here before, now that you say
comes across as very, I would think, probably the similar plums used because it was very acidic, more so than the base, for sure. But Nature's Candy, I think, is a good descriptor.
I like
Nature's
it.
Warhead.
Yeah. So what do we have going on with our... I know we've got a tank there labeled Plum Police. What's going on with our plum beer?
It's just getting plummed, man. I tasted it last week, and I've just been kind of letting it marinate in my head. It was a little more like... how blueberries come across it was a little more tannic than I expected it to be, which isn't a bad thing. It's just, okay, we'll probably want to blend around this somehow, but maybe not. As soon as we're done this, I'm going to go over there and have another hit of it. I'll give you some.
Hell yeah.
So the timeline of where it's at, it doesn't like need to come off the fruit. I'm not worried about anything. It's been like a little under 3 months. 3 months is usually what we do, unless it's some weird process that I can't go into, top secret.
Top secret stuff.
Spell work is one other one that's been frustrating. We have like, it's hard to even get into, but just it's that first batch came out so good.
So fucking
good. It was so good.
To date, in Milo, and that resides in the top three beers or so, is that first batch of spell work was incredible.
And then the problem is you can't have that sophomore slump.
Yeah.
So it's been hard to replicate it, basically. We have the gin mirrors, but they're all at different, it's like three different batches of, and I thought that would be a positive to
so
be
that
able
you could
to,
blend together
but
and
it's,
get
it's
back
it's made
to...
it even more frustrating because the, yeah, I don't know. The good thing with those barrels, since they're 30-gallon and gin is just so strong, when in doubt, just start over.
Yeah.
Dump the barrels and refill them.
Have we done that
I think
to
that's,
date already?
That was at least half of what the first batch was. So I'm getting close to that point where, and I wouldn't look at it as a defeat. Yeah. I would just look at it as like, okay, these definitely need something to soak out the gin.
Yeah.
Like, you know, most of that. Because it just is so inconsistent with like this very light, you know, beer profile. Just that heavy, heavy like vanilla lumber botanical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like a touch of that is amazing. That's what made that first batch so good.
But it can overrun so
and we had
quickly.
I can't even remember, but we blended the fuck out of that down even. Yeah. So yeah, clearly tasting is what I'm doing today. If you haven't put that together.
We got a day of tasting, baby. Excited to see what does come down. Kick 2022 off with some beers that we haven't
some
had
more
before.
Some just frustrating beer.
And some that we have. Which brings us to a reason to be more excited, and that is the Grain Gang.
Tell them.
I know we've said it before, but I'll have these moments, during lower moments, having these kind of reach outs that actually mean something and are either like longer in nature, they're deeper in nature, or even still to date now.
Or they just say, like, don't worry, man, you're not a redhead.
Man, your hair is so dark brown. Fucking right, dude. I knew I fucking loved this podcast. You're taller in person when we met at that brewery. Fucking right. But no, for real, like, even to date, I'll get stuff still about kind of like sharing my story because it's laden with addiction and jail and like all these things that could have gone terribly the wrong way.
Can I just say one thing real quick? I'm very glad that jail part one and two was not out by the time we were doing that podcast.
Guess who's going to jail tonight? But even had a reach out recently. I hope I'm not saying too much, but just usually it's somebody who's kind of been there, you know what I mean? And sharing that is always incredible. But somebody even just kind of saying like they lost a friend to addiction, like never struggled with it myself. But having lost a friend to addiction, and I really hope I'm not saying too much here, and that's why I'm not mentioning any name or anything like that. But said as much as like, if nothing else, that feeling that like maybe I could have done something has always been with me, and that episode kind of made me realize that like that was their battle to fight, and I couldn't have done anything, and sounded like they got a lot of solace in that, and it's hard, like,
awesome,
you can't fucking read that and not like be on a different wave and about things that like what matters and what doesn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
This kid at Target on doing the dishes slowly doesn't fucking matter, dude. I'm sorry.
You mentioned the Target kid first. I mean.
Yeah, but that really bothered me. But for real. Which brings us to, I just wanted to preface that because that's really personal and means something to me. But we had a reach out that we've never had one like that before. And I want to tell you the incredible story of Devin Quinn. So Devin Quinn is a Grain Gang listener, Grain Gang member. And if you remember a few episodes back, I remember there'd been a question about like barrel angle that you were kind of like, I think I understand, not positive. I understand what you're saying. Like, reword the question and I'd be happy to answer it another time. Well, that time has come and homeboy reached out to kind of clarify the question. I'll finish with that, though, because what he also said was that he was a kid from Vermont, was planning to move to Maine, I think, to be closer to friends and family and stuff like that. And in getting into the episodes, he listened to the Weldworks episode. And shout out to Colin and Jake, because he was I think the big takeaway for him in that was the creative destruction thing that Colin was on. And if we're being honest, I thought that was awesome too, and kind of got all excited by that. But he said he was kind of so taken from the creative destruction thing, got to thinking about it, follows Weldworks, planning to move to Maine, had asked us about brewery stuff, like trying to get a job and trying to stay in brewing or get into brewing, get a job in the brewing industry, follows Weldworks. A week later, they post for a marketing manager position. So they're done with the creative destruction. They want the creative creation.
Guess who's going to Greeley tonight?
Guess who's going to Greeley tonight? So he reaches out to them. And I think upon sending the email to us, he was celebrating a month of working at Weldworks.
It's absolutely so amazing. Sick.
Literally, the email was laden with weed emojis. loved it. And literally on some, like, I wouldn't be working here if it wasn't for the podcast. It was very fucking cool to read. So Devin Quinn, shout out to you.
Congratulations. Incredible story.
Congratulations. Yeah. And the very least we could do is answer your question in earnest this time. So homeboy got a little clear and even took it all the way to,
now that the weed is flowing.
that Greeley stuff is
that Greeley Kush.
That Greeley Kush is good. So homeboy says, so flashback to episode 62. Devin is dialed in. Episode 62 at the 57:45 mark, you asked Jay Bone from Allagash why they kept their barrels at an angle and asked if that was done to make the bung, quote unquote, not be on air. It was Noah's question that made me curious in the first place, and Jay Bone's somewhat vague answer that left me...
Jay Bone.
You can't call him nickname Jay Bone and then criticize him for the vague answer in the same sentence. You can choose one. one. Either Jason was Jason was vague or J-Bone nailed it. But it was J-Bone's somewhat vague answer that kind of left him thirsty to know more about it. So he said his official revised question for clarity: how does the angle of the barrel affect the final product? And two, is it important for a bung to be saturated slash submerged when filling and racking a barrel? How will that affect the final product?
I know as much as I did when I asked Jason, I'm going to call him Jason, that question.
Jay Perk.
To my memory, I feel like I had seen it at some lambic places, but mostly just out. I've toured Allagash far more than like any other brewery just because of like, we'll take employees there and, you know, yada, yada. And just remember seeing it there and it stuck with me because of it being unique. And in my head, it was like, all right, the bung is going to be less airtight than just straight staves.
Yeah.
Like there's just more air possibilities there.
Like that's the weak point.
So if you wanted to submerge that and hard bung, that would make sense in that way to potentially mitigate the oxygen ingress. So that's really all I have to say about it. Like you said, it was a vague answer, and I was hoping to have all my mysteries revealed, but not so much.
So, and you said that kind of keeping the barrels at an angle.
Like the barrel itself, it's a circular thing where there is no angle in it besides the bung. The bung is the only thing
true,
that matters. So otherwise, if it was no, especially no bung in that way, like
they could be upside down.
Wouldn't matter.
Right, it wouldn't matter.
You wouldn't even be able to tell.
Yeah.
But you know, potentially. So that's my take on it. We don't do that cause we don't hard bung stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've only seen that elsewhere from your recollection.
I don't even know at this point.
Maybe
Jason made me feel like I never even saw it there, dude.
They may not even do it.
Yeah, dude, I don't even know. But yeah, I wish I could say more, but I'll say this. You're on the other side of the country now. Be searching around. See if you can find any of those 15, 30-degree barrels hanging out around
there. And
then
let us know.
Yes.
And then you
then
let
you
us
can,
know.
Where one man was vague, another man can be lucid.
And there it is.
Motors.
And if nothing else, we can say congratulations.
Congratulations, for real.
That was
amazing, amazing
fucking
story.
Awesome email to read. Congratulations, Devin. Which brings us to our very own Justin Quayle. So Justin said that over the holidays, I am always finding myself drinking Dre Fontenaine. While enjoying it, I got to wondering how this spontaneously fermented beer gets so much Brett flavor, specifically that candied Brett taste that I love so much. Does Belgium have Brett heavy air? Do they add Brett anywhere in the process, etc.?
Great question, Justin. I don't think the air is more Brett heavy. I think that's kind of more lure, you know, about like, oh, it's so heavy in the Seven Valley, man. I definitely don't think, unless the whole thing has been a fucking lie the whole time and all that shit.
Traditional.
Yeah, it's just a crock of bullshit, but I don't think they're dumping anything in at any point. But how would we know? I mean, let's be honest, how would we know? We wouldn't.
Yeah.
But from my understanding, and it in a comparatively tiny amount of experiential trial and error, the turbid mash is or some stand-in for that to create these really long-chain sugars is really like the secret to where you get Brett. You get a mix of things that is deeper. It just you just don't find it in other beer.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of things, obviously. It's a great question, but yeah, big one.
Let's unpack
again,
it a little bit.
So, and yeah, help me out if I'm going off the rails at any point.
Well, I think when I read that question.
You already saw me standing on the ledge, huh?
Well, I think the fundamental question within that question is Brett naturally occurring in the air? You know, like, why
it
do
is
I
everywhere, think, I believe.
And I think for something that even I didn't understand that much at the beginning is that all of these yeasts are all or many of these yeasts are. So the spontaneous fermentation will have sac, it'll have PDO, it'll have whatever.
And all sorts of other shit. The thing is, you're with providing any food medium mm-hmm. or sugar source or whatever, you're naturally selecting for what wants to consume that mm-hmm. by leaving it open in a room overnight
mm-hmm.
Or putting it in a barrel or whatever. Like anything that can be consumed and broken down, the things that can do it will gravitate towards that. So like what
totally.
Goes in, I think the studies of like what analyzing like the individual strains and can't, it's like dozens bananas. And dozens and dozens. But that would probably still only be a percentage of what is in the what that wort actually would have been exposed to mm-hmm. by just the ambient air,
yeah.
which is pretty crazy to think about. But when you put that in perspective of how many strains there are to use as brewers, mm-hmm. like to buy lab, there are a lot for yeah. sure. But it highlights how that selective process of like, well, yeah, there are a lot, but also like really you could break them to, if like there were six strains of yeast that you could buy, like that'd pretty much cover it.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that isn't a negative because the nuance is where all the fun is. But like from flavor profiles, that'd pretty much cover the bases, the big bases.
Yeah.
So I'm just feeling myself starting to derail a little bit, but I think the reason like everything develops with food, and it's like before people know it, it is just nothing but trial and error. But in the trial and error process, you are definitely there's a natural selection that's happening mm-hmm. every time a cool ship is filled. There's natural selection going on in that room. I think.
Yeah.
I'm a Darwin.
Me too. Me too. So where I went to in my head, I understood kind of like the hardiness of Brett, right? For the what you hear about Brett is it can take on these late stages of fermentation and just kind of keep going and going. So kind of looking into that, saw kind of this was all kind of news to me, and I'm no expert on it, but like Milk the Funk Wiki, looking through spontaneous stuff, kind of broke down spontaneous fermentation in this. To four stages. First one I can't even pronounce. The second stage is ethanol production. Third, acidification. And then the fourth is this maturation. That's where kind of Brett really shines, which maps up with the more anecdotal stuff of what you hear about Brett. Its ability to get those complex sugars, the only sugars that are left, right, late in a fermentation is what Brett can still get after and keep going. Where it ties into his question that I was curious about is the other anecdotal thing, and this is just me putting points together. You also like the standard knowledge of like you should keep your wild facility separate from your clean facility because those yeasts are so much hardier, hard to kill, and can taint your other beer, get in your lines, and do all of that stuff. Is there an element of that that is at play, especially in anecdotally, my mind was when you have these old rooms and these wood, these porous places where spontaneous fermentation is being done, especially in the Belgian old school producers, is Brett more able to be present in that wood, in those attics, in that room over tons and tons of years and kind of build up its like being present in the inoculation room to begin with before fermentation even does start?
I think so. Yeah. The theory would be like it'd be dormant in the wood, mm-hmm. you know? And I think it really almost even speaks to like what Zach from Fox Farm is saying about the wake up mm-hmm, brew. Mm. You know,
yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like it's there. You're just extracting it a little bit further and kind of prepping it like here's an appetizer.
Giving it something to eat and get it going.
Yeah. Yep. And so it'll even if it's just dormant in the room, it'll be more active, I guess. This is, I'm sure, like anyone remotely scientific is just cringing right now. But
from the technical standpoint, where why Brett does hold up and why Brett is so active late in fermentation. Where is that coming from? That a scientist could listen to and be remotely
the range
happy
of what
about.
Brett can break down is just far larger than what a normal sack strain can. So yeah. Not only is it more, the hardiness is really like the pH tolerance and ethanol tolerance to some degree, but it's much more that like it'll break down compounds. That's where really the maturation process, you can think about that as what a lot of what's happening in there is off flavors that have been bruised before, not cleaning them up necessarily, but changing them into more desirable character. It's not fermentate, like sugars aren't being broken down 2 years into a fermentation, but something's being broken down or there'd be no point to just keep it there.
Yeah.
And you even see that with barrels that aren't, you know, aren't spontaneous and aren't turbid mash. Like there's the whole maturation process is that it isn't sugar consumption, fermentation by it is refiguring the byproduct of that fermentation and maturing into a place that is more ideal, I guess. And it's kind of my head is literally spinning talking about this. I think also because I have the impending, like, knowing we're about to go over there. there's a lot. And thankfully, Justin works with us.
Yep.
So we can get into that more. But I think the big takeaway is that the... If Sack is vegan, Brett eats fucking
omnivore,
anything.
Omnivore, baby.
Yeah, I think that would be probably the easiest nutshell to express that in.
I think the big takeaway is Three Rivers staff trip to Canteon.
Yeah, of course.
Which brings us to our third and final question, so we can get over there and taste some of this stuff, is Spencer Schaub. So head brewer at a brew pub in KC. I'm looking into using terpenes as a hop booster, as well as looking into a collab with a dispensary. We talked a lot about the beer that we did with Mentation. Do you have any insight on a starting dosage? And did you have any line taint on the draft kegs? And this was really interesting to me. I'd never thought about it. And again, anecdotal man, not scientific man. But remember we had spoken about that... I love the Mentation beer. The one off thing that I heard from a few people was kind of a lingering to it, right? This kind of lingering, this feel that would stay in your mouth. And he's asking about this, any line taint on the draft kegs. And he says that the last part scares him after New Belgium's Hemperer, just like, for lack of a better word, fucked up.
Rained in Kansas City.
Fucked up a lot of the lines.
Oh,
in
hail
Kansas
the Hemperer.
I couldn't. That's pretty good. I couldn't. I went looking for it online. I couldn't find it. But after having ours, knowing it's something different, I was very curious to see what you would say and if you can, A, even kind of see where that's coming from, or B, if you experienced any of it whatsoever with our beer.
I think the taint probably is like, it is an oily, I don't even know exactly what the compound is, but it's like a hyper concentrated oil. So the first thing, starting dosage, I'll start there. I remember for a 5 gallon keg, we started that after doing our best with the tiny dosing, we stepped it up to 5 gallons and we did 5 mils of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it was, drinkable, but barely.
Yeah.
Like it was flirting with that ridiculous. It was ridiculous, but and we didn't sell it. It was just to see. And we did that with Lux. And then for the, as we scaled that up for, it was 20 barrels. We did about 400 milliliters. So
400 mil?
I don't know where the scaling of that comes, but it was definitely less.
Would it be even if he's 10 barrels? Cut that right in half?
Yeah. But it, also, like, the brands probably matter, and that I don't really know about. So I was told them what brand we used, which was Enya. And after that, it was kind of like, well, all I know, we tried a few different brands. This smelled the best. Mm-hmm. Like, it smelled the most real. And after that, I don't know intensity-wise how to. And so for line taint, we clean our lines really well after, intentionally, for that reason,
yep.
and didn't have a problem, but no. I really want someone to chime in about Kemper taking over Kansas City.
Yeah.
By force.
I went digging for it. I could not find anything online. If you do have anything, email it along. Not as a New Belgium dig or anything like that.
No,
frankly,
no.
I love the employee-owned thing, and those were some of the first business.
What more do you fucking want, dude?
No, but the some of the first business beer podcasts that got me really ramped up to getting into beer podcasts was her in New Belgium. Listening to that stuff was super interesting. But this thing running... The Emperor reigning over the draft lines is still very funny
Hemperer,
to me.
The Hemperer.
And if you've got any, literature input on that, I'd love to read it. That's super interesting. So thank you for reaching out, Spencer. And that's what we got for this one, baby. It's time for us to go taste some beer, right?
Not before I hit you with a three bay. I'm trying to slink out of here, dude.
Trying.
Not so fast. So let's go with, I'm going to give you three NFT series, and you are going to embody those with three Milo beers.
Three Milo beers.
Real or hypothetical.
that's a lot. I got a lot of ground. You're giving me the NFT series?
I will give them to
Come
you.
Come on.
We'll give you CryptoPunks.
Yeah.
We'll do the Bored Ape, obviously, yeah. for your sake.
Bored Ape Yacht Club.
And then let's go with... any ideas?
We could. I tried do the Goat Society, because that was the one that I tried to. I was going to buy.
Oh, and famous people are goats.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
okay.
Like it's famous people yeah. done up in this goat.
Look, LeBron's
artwork.
A goat.
It's I just took. I wanted to take an NFT from the beginning to the end. So like I got served an
you
ad.
Got cold feet though.
I went and found like
you
the.
Got cold
I got cold feet,
feet
at the last second. I didn't want to spend. I think it was 0.07 ETH. Which, whatever it was, it equated to like $600 or something to buy this picture of a goat. But I learned a lot.
Buzz Lightyear's a goat.
I learned a lot. Okay, so we've got CryptoPunks, Bored Ape Yacht Club, and the Real Goat Society. NFTs with Milo beers. Wow. Wow. Not going to be great. My first answer, I like Bored Ape Yacht Club. I understand. I don't hate it. It's
how much is one of those cost nowadays?
I think it's a couple have sold. Some of them are into the millions.
Uh-huh.
I think Post Malone, I think, bought one for like $300K. Because the thing with the NFTs is inside. A lot, 10,000 seems to be the number. They'll mint one, then they'll mint 10,000 of them. There's differences, but that seems to be a common number that I see. And then within that, you have different, like Pokemon cards, there's rarity within that. You know what I mean? So you can have some on the low end that aren't worth a ton, and then you have ones on the high end that are like having a...
And it's all about how what like the features they have,
features.
Right?
Features. A yeah. lot of this is done by code. So you'll
so arty. It's so artistic, dude.
You'll have like you could almost think of like a Mr. Potato Head. And then you would have like oh my god, his eyes are where his nose should be, or like there's one feature in the Mr. Potato Head, like the hat. They're like only three of them have the hat, and then they get to rarity based on that.
For the goat ones, they must be based on how famous the person is, though, right?
Some of it, what they
because
had,
like
they
you had, can't change the features.
They
on
did,
someone.
But someone had they would like there was some there was a cigarette butt. So like, oh, not only do I have Tom Brady, not only
he's
do
smoking.
I have Tom Brady,
he's smoking meth.
I've got Tom Brady with a cigarette butt. You know, and it's really like that. And then there's some that like you can, they're not that famous.
I got Tom Brady in an opium den.
Yeah, some that aren't even famous. Just there was like 5,000 of them are just goats, or it's like
I got Ben Stein having road rage.
Yeah, it's crazy. And still trying to learn a lot about it, but. Made a lot of sense. What my mind goes to immediately is group therapy because of the artwork thing. Group therapy is one of my favorite beers to sell. I love telling people the story of the BB guns, and it's you kind of leading like what looks like a little AA meeting or something like that. And you've got these destroyed G.I. Joes all around you. It's just super cool. It's fucking super fun to share. Bored Ape Yacht Club just kind of took this aesthetic that's been around forever, I feel like. They were like Pharrell Williams with Bathing Ape and that kind of cartoon model and da-da-da, and they just... It was cool. It was the right time. And now I think that's the thing a lot of people don't realize about these NFTs is it's essentially a fundraising mechanism. Like, it's just if you mint 10,000 NFTs for a bunch of ETH and they get to pay in one ETH a piece for them, it's fucking even right now. That's 3,400 or something. 10,000 times 3,400 adds up. And I think it's what remains to be seen is what do you do with the money? Your NFT isn't stupid until you sell a picture of an ape, go buy yourself some Lambos and some blah, 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 and you squander all the money.
Yep.
Then your NFT sucks. If you take that money...
And make Bored Ape burger chains across the country.
And everybody who has the NFT has ownership and you actually sell a fuck ton of burgers, then it's an incredible thing. You know, it's just what do you do with the money and are you going to win with it or are you going to lose with it? But just for the artwork alone, group therapy, Bored Ape Yacht Club. I get the most excited here. I'm going to take this so loose, but it's my favorite thing to say. This place means a ton to me. Milo saved my life. The fact that we're here is amazing. The fact that we're doing mixed firm beer here is amazing. The fact that we're doing spontaneous beer here ties the whole bow on.
You didn't even know, but this whole thing was to get you out of 2022 sucks.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It is working. But the fact that we're doing spontaneous beer, I look at whether it's true or not, you losing your mom is a bit of a catalyst to being here. Just the narrative and the emotion behind spontaneous beer and doing it, it's the biggest, like, if you're in it for the money, you ain't doing spontaneous beer. If you're just everything about that summarizes why I love being here. Because frankly, I didn't think I'd be spending my 30s in the town that all my family was from with no population in one of the. It's not what I expected, but I'm doing it.
I thought I'd have an NFT by now.
But and what? So this town, the reason I can do this for as long as I have and start feeling the itch of wanting to go to bigger places and have kind of had to rectify in my own brain, keeping that in check, or at least feeling like I've done enough here to feel good when I do that, right? I'm here for a reason and to accomplish something. But when I came here years ago, and didn't have anything and was figuring it all out, I found my boy Gary Vaynerchuk. I found Gary on social media screaming at me to not all like to grind your face off, all that shit he gets characterized at, but underneath that, an awful lot of wisdom. The biggest of that, I think, being provide value. Don't like value started to become kind of like my religion. If I can figure out how to be valuable in situations, someday I'm going to be okay, blah, blah, blah. When it comes to CryptoPunks, there is an incredible story of Gary Vaynerchuk getting a bunch of people on a conference call. And I'm talking about CEOs of big business. I'm talking some of the thought leaders of the world. Imagine a phone call that has like Logan Paul,
Joe Byron,
Peter Thiel, Mr. Beast from YouTube, and like these 20 different people on it, and Gary Vaynerchuk screaming at them to buy a CryptoPunk right now, years ago. Buy this fucking thing. He knew what NFTs were. He understood what they were going to be, yada, yada. And there's a couple of them. I think Mr. Beast is, you can find him telling this story on YouTube, this ridiculous call with everybody on it, Gary Vaynerchuk yelling at them to buy it. Most of them did, and they are all doing incredibly well because of it. So I am going to bring that to our unreleased spontaneous beer because some of those Gary Vaynerchuk words saved my life, and he helped a lot of people's life as well by getting them
become way more rich than they already were.
Way richer, yeah, than they already are. For a few of those, that'll go the wrong way. That NFT money will end. Might end one of those lives on the YouTube side, but that's a story for another day. CryptoPunks, unreleased, yes, spontaneous beer. real.
I have really mixed feelings about that answer. I'm gonna be honest.
It's a lot. It's a lot. I like it. I can understand where you're coming from. But this is personal, and this is my three bag.
It's yours, baby.
And then Real Goat Society. I don't think this is a hard one. My interest was massive. I don't think it's going to be anything great. And we'll call it.
It's a great way to start talking about our beers, too. I don't think it's going to be anything great.
We'll call it the spell work that we talked about today.
Fine.
It's
great.
The makings of some stuff are there. But when I was in the Discord chat and they're trying to hype up everybody to buy this thing, they had, I think they said they were going to have Chris Brown. He didn't show up, but they did have Waka Flocka Flame. Something. But, you know, it had some makings. Doesn't have all makings. Some of it is great, like batch number one. Some of it you got to dump and figure out. And whether it's going to be good or not is TBD. It depends.
Will Chris Brown show up?
On what they do with the money. And it depends on if Chris Brown shows up. And lastly, I know NFTs get me excited. I think they can be and do incredible things. Still early stages. There's so much fuckery. 99.9% of them will go all the way to zero. But
so invest all you have in them.
Well, yeah, would love to. I do think it's interesting. Anheuser-Busch with Gary Vaynerchuk is doing a huge thing right now for Budweiser. Don't know where it makes a ton of sense in the beer space, but if I would love to have a conversation with a kid out of Portland, Jonathan Perkins, who's got a huge business in NFTs, and if anybody would think that NFT conversation over the next couple months would be interesting, DM me, email me, tell me you want to hear it. And if I get none, then I'm not going to ask them. If I get some, I'm going to ask them.
Look at that.
Look at it go.
What a format.
More for the Grain Gang.
All right, pucker up.
Let's go taste.
I'm in the mood to be slow and careful. My body's ready for a mountain climb. All of a sudden it will all become lovely. The flower that opens.